Looks like goddamn Mario Kart. Checkered everything.
There's something on that car.
The hang.
Daddy's home.
What the shit? Race control.
Right, one more car and I'm taking it out of your ass.
I'ma take this track and make it my bitch.
Did you know that races are won and lost in the pits?
I did not know that.
Did you not?
The IMS is the best there ever was.
Daddy doesn't do road cars.
Daddy only does ovals.
We certainly don't take ourselves that seriously, so you shouldn't.
Welcome to Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly. Episode 27, race report from Mid-Ohio. Did not actually happen on the road, thanks to me.
Yeah, I think it's the race report horse edition.
Horse edition. Yeah. Well, I'm almost in that sweet spot of like super sultry, sexy voice. Mm. Not quite there. I mean, Yeah, a couple more hours, maybe tomorrow. I'll re-record my outgoing voicemail message.
Nice.
Take advantage of it. And then by Wednesday, I should be back to normal.
We're going to hit news, but next week, since there's no track activity for a couple of weeks, we're going to dive into some of the newer news stories and go in depth. So we're going to hit news stories. We're going to talk about the race and our picks. And well, that's really it today. We do have a guest here in studio.
We do. We've got Molly's dad.
Golf cart driver, decorator extraordinaire.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yes.
Pirate Chick Hilliker.
Pirate Chick. Who braved Mid-Ohio with us.
Braved Mid-Ohio with us and rocked the pirate hat 24-7.
He forgot his other hat.
Well, you know what? I don't care because he put two Fast Cars, Fast Girls buttons on it. And he was giving out stickers and buttons like we were paying him to. So
I'll pay you later for that, by the way. I forgot to send you that money. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, so just the quick news.
Just the quick news.
Iowa is now back to Saturday night, which I think everyone is excited about.
Yeah.
And means we are actually going to go.
And it's July 20th, so that has some scheduling implications, possibly. It doesn't conflict with anything this year, but it's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll get into that. We'll do some more guesstimations on that, I think, next time.
Yeah, I think so. And then Andretti said that McLaren / Alonso need to make their decision by Pocono, which is, what, August 18th, 19th? Yep. August 19th,
about
3 weeks. So, better get to getting.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. And I think we retweeted that Harding is testing kiddos August 2nd at Portland.
Yes.
And Steinbrenner, Herta are really pushing for a 2019. So, we'll see. Although the problem is they can't. They're not going to be with Andretti.
Interesting.
There's no room.
Yeah, no, I know that.
So unless it's a weird one-off team, but who knows?
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens.
Very interesting. All right, well.
Did you have anything to add to that, or you good?
No.
Okay, just the way you looked at me.
All right, so end of the race, our practice sessions.
So run them down. Session one was Bourdais, Newgarden, Dixon, Sato, Piggott. I'm not surprised to see Piggott in there.
No.
He's okay. Fifth quickest typically is what I would sometimes see him, but...
Yeah. Although, and you just never know. Sometimes he does really well in practice, sometimes he doesn't.
I do remember last year at Mid-Ohio's practice session, he did not do so well.
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
I believe he stuffed it.
I believe he did.
I believe it was, wreck one more car, and I'm taking it out of your ass. I think that's where it came from.
I believe that's also the start of...
Daddy. It was.
Only does ovals.
It was the start of Daddy doesn't do road courses. Daddy only does ovals.
Happy anniversary to that statement.
Oh, indeed. Session two, top five quickest, RHR, Power, Ray Hall, Piggott, and Rossi. Never surprised to see Ray Hall do well on this course. He just always does.
Yeah. I mean, he's a proverbial kind of pick 'em.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a solid driver. He's, you know, he's not midfield. He's usually, you know, like upper middle class, I would say.
yes.
And occasionally has better finishes, but he almost always does well at Mid-Ohio.
Yeah, and I think part of that's the hometown bump. And he does fairly well on the road and street courses.
He does, yeah.
Like Detroit last year was back-to-back, so. Mm-hmm.
He does better in those courses than the ovals, for sure.
Yeah. Let's see, session three was Ray Hall, Newgarden, Power, Rossi, Dixon.
I mean, that's a strong five. That's, and for Ray Hall to be in the front of that.
Yeah, they were working on that car and found something.
They sure did.
Mm. All right.
All right, so qualifications are... Or you want to get into something else?
No, I'm ready for good
qualifications. Okay, so qualifications. Alexander Rossi, your boy, won the pole.
In one lap.
Just take out enough to win.
Just enough to win. Which was amazing. I mean, he went through it, and then they were like, all right, ready to go. And he was like, well, I'll just do one lap.
That's all I need.
That's all I need is one good lap. And apparently that's what he did. Plus, think about the tires he saved.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Like, now you've got so many fresh sets of tires or scuffed tires that you don't have to worry about.
Yes. You don't have to worry about that degradation because he went with the two-stop strategy.
Yeah.
And so I think that, I mean, if you're going to have a two-stop strategy, that strategy starts in qualifications.
It does. And it makes sure that you've got the right set of tires when you're flipping out.
Yes.
So, no. Got it in one. And so
I find it very interesting that when you look at the three practice sessions, mm-hmm. Rossi was only in the top five twice. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the fastest he got was fourth in one.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was just one.
No, he was in five.
Oh, well, he was. Yeah, sorry. But yeah.
Oh, sorry for a question mark statement.
Fair.
To me, I find it really a testament to the team to not run overly strong in practice, but to have it dialed so much to go out basically in one lap and do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just on it.
I think that that's also a testament to just the type of driver that Rossi is. He's a very cerebral driver, and his team seems to be cerebral as well. They all work very well together, and it's almost like the practice sessions were information gathering.
Yeah.
You know, it was like they were fishing expeditions to, okay, this is working, this isn't, because they already know the skill and the talent they're working with. All they're doing is just fine-tuning some car things. So. Yeah,
but to be able to
take that and turn it into... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just plug it in and go.
Amazing. I mean,
as Mel B would say, they're on it.
Yeah. They are.
No, I agree. I think that the NAPA know-how team...
I mean,
shout out Napa Racing.
Shout out Napa Racing. But they're a bunch of badasses.
They are very good and they know what they do. And I think, yeah, they've got that connection where driver, engineers, everybody kind of figures it out. Strategists is like, okay, this didn't work. Let's try this. This didn't work. Let's try this. Which is why I don't ever put a lot of stock into practice sessions, because that's drivers figuring out in teams what does and what doesn't work. And just, mm-hmm. And I only put the top five, but I know, like, you know, Daly kind of got faster and faster till quals. I mean, he's, you know, was out of like the first advancing 12 by like mere second, like tenths of a second.
And yes.
You can watch the advancement of cars at practice. Okay, this person has it and this person does it.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. No, it's impressive is what it is.
He's not saying no to us.
Yeah, it's the dog.
It's the dog. I want to point
that out. She's desperate for love.
I have desperate. All
right. Number two for qualifications, Will Power. Killing it this season.
Really good season.
I mean, not that he doesn't usually kill it. I mean, he's a very strong driver, but he is having a hell of a year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you win the 500. That's a big bump. He won Detroit.
Yeah.
Which I never expect somebody to win Detroit. No. After you win the 500. Yeah.
So, and then number three, Ryan Hunter-Reay.
He was just doing that to make you angry.
I know.
Every time I die and laugh.
You know, in the betting I did with the Pain Tour, I mm-hmm. picked RHR as one of my drivers because I refused to pick him on anything else. But I thought, I know he's going to do well and it's going to piss me off. So I've got to pick him somewhere.
He didn't do too bad overall either. So
he did not. Fourth was Newgarden. Fifth, Wickens.
There you go.
And sixth was Max Chilton.
That was surprising, but pleasantly surprising.
I wasn't as surprised because Max loves road courses.
He does.
He races well on them, mm-hmm. and he loves them.
I think it harkens back to that British G3 and Carlin's background in Formula One. Road courses and street courses, that's their bread and butter. And he loves twisty, turny courses.
Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, I will apologize now to all of our listeners and IndyCar Nation members, because he was my sleeper. And I will say, he would have been an awesome sleeper.
Yeah, that's true.
Had Race Control not made him do a drive-through on the first fucking lap. I was like, damn you, Ari and Max.
You can't get back from that. You can't
And the announcers even said, as soon as it had happened, they said he'll never recover from that. And I was like, no, he won't.
Well, he had a drive-through, and then he had, I listened today, there was another issue. So
an avoidable contact.
No, avoidable that was... contact, drive-through, and then he had to do an unscheduled pit stop for some issue. So now you've had two trips down pit lane you weren't banking on.
No.
And that's going to mess you up.
But I don't know that quite makes up for the fact he finished two laps down.
It does that because you lose a few laps, and he had to sit in that pit to fix the problem.
Well, and I think they said it was about 49 seconds.
Yeah, it was about 49 seconds in a good pit stop. Oh, you're talking about the drive-through. The drive-through is 49 seconds. A good pit stop, you will lose positions quickly
because you're. I mean, bare minimum, you're adding 6 seconds to that.
So,
unless you're the Wolfpack, and then it's only like 5.3.
And then they're like, "Oh wait, was he in the pits?"
No. I was never here. So I was sad to not see Chilton do better because I really enjoy watching him race and I enjoy Carlin racing.
I do too. We'll talk about
it. Yeah.
Somebody else later.
All right. So
let's get into the race.
Yeah. Race. Let's get into the race.
I want to start it this way. And I don't think you heard this, but did you hear how the woman started the race?
No.
It was gentlemen start your engines.
Oh, I did hear that. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I was like, ah, they said it.
You know, it makes me happy.
I know it does. And when they replayed it and heard it, I wrote it down.
It's just one of those things that's tradition for me. And I
think it's good.
I mean, I get the driver start your engines, but gentlemen start your engines.
It's classy.
It is. Classy AF. Just like this podcast.
As we
drink our cans of wine.
To nurse the hangover from.
I'm surprised I didn't have the shakes at work today. I've been drunk since Thursday.
This man let us drive the golf cart when he wasn't around. I'm surprised I didn't take the keys every night with
him.
I'm taking the golf cart keys with me.
Back to the hotel. None of you are able to.
There was that moment about Saturday night. I got concerned about the golf cart.
I was very concerned.
We were not driving it.
But there were people that were shooting fireworks at each other.
I don't think they weren't shooting at each other. They were shooting it up and it fell over. So it went into somebody else's tent area.
Yeah. And so I just walked because then there was another firework that was closer to the golf cart and I heard something hit. And so I made a stop by, well, actually it saved me a stop because the person involved in the initial firework kerfluffle had left that area.
Yeah.
To avoid their very angry neighbors, I'm sure.
Yes.
And happened to come down to where the golf cart was, which is where I was making my speech, that if anybody shot a firework at the golf cart, the campsite, or myself, their body would never be found. And that I was absolutely not joking around. So,
fun fact, we know the woods now.
We sure do.
Yeah.
We know the path.
Mm-hmm.
We will hide your body. So, yes, I was... We were sitting with the pain tour, and it happened. And Molly and I looked at each other, and I said, I'll handle this.
Mm-hmm. I believe the words I used were, watch, the white trash is about to come out.
I said, I'm not coming completely out the trailer. I'm just going to stand in the doorway.
Open it up and yell.
Yell from my porch. Because I said, if they hit my tent, y'all are going to see me come straight out the trailer.
I mean, it's a nice tent.
And I hate personal fireworks anyway. I believe that I've said that more than enough times in the last month.
It went off and I just was like, I can't even. Okay.
No.
All right. Well, back to the race. We're going to get blue flagged here. Yeah, like Takuma Sato did. Which God. It was Sato who he was waving at the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny about Sato is apparently he came on the radio. So the first contact was a Chilton contact, like opening lap. And so Sato was bitchy on the radio. Surprise. And then there was another incident with Piggott that race control did not take any action on. And he was bitchy about that. But he gets blue flagged and ignores them. Or he can't see them.
And here's what I want to know. Because a third of that race, a third of the laps of that race, we watched that flagger blue flag Sato.
Boy.
How in the hell did he not get a black flag for not heating?
Thank you. Or like,
I mean, I know that they have one lap and so he probably, but at that point I feel like you are abusing, like you're just waiting to the last minute
mm-hmm.
because he was getting blue flagged in turn 5 30% of the time.
Oh, 100. That guy had it tucked under his arm.
He quit putting it up.
Ready to go.
Yeah, he stopped putting it against the fence with the rest of the flags. He literally just held it and just stood there daring Sato to, again, not let a faster car pass. I feel like that flagger has an axe to grind with Sato now.
I feel like that flagger is our spirit animal.
Oh, I love excessive blue flag usage.
It was nice.
But yeah, I did tweet yesterday that Sato wasn't racing. He was cruising for a bruising.
I will not apologize because I picked him as my drop. So you're all welcome.
Well, I picked Rossi for my lock, so I feel real good about that.
I believe Rossi is now in the category of Will. I can't pick him for anything.
Yeah.
That really makes me unhappy.
I'll pick yours.
Thank you.
I can rarely pick Hinch. Because typically if I pick Hinch, he doesn't do well. So you can pick Hinch for me and I'll pick Rossi.
Okay, we'll see how this...
Try it out.
We're splitting up the Ask-Off Track Boys apparently this way.
Right? Yeah.
See what happens. Who knows?
I will say, we are still in communications with Verizon Wireless because there was an issue with the audio. So if anybody else had an issue with the in-car communication...
Please let us know.
Yeah. And let Verizon Wireless customer support know. It's, you can find them on Twitter or however you typically get a hold of them through your provider. But the app... would not even load for me. Granted, I have an AT&T phone, but you two both have Verizon.
Yeah.
We could not hear IMS radio. Mm-hmm. We could not hear in-car communication. I mean, we did for, I don't know, about 15 seconds.
And this dad was using, you were using the kind of like the telemetry part of it, and it would kept freezing up, right?
Yeah.
So, like, nothing was working.
Yes. So, we will update you because we specifically...
Not even the tower.
Oh, the tower.
Yeah, Mid-Ohio's tower was
also...
Well,
that's not Verizon Wireless.
But
it was also wrong.
It's true. But if you had issues, make sure to let Verizon know because this is... We have heard from a few people, mm-hmm. and I don't know that everybody's been reaching out to them. It is an issue that needs to be solved because it's the third race in a row, and I'm going to go monkey in a cage.
Yeah.
Jesus in the temple.
Flipping things.
Flipping tables.
All right.
So we did not get to hear...
I'm sad we didn't get to hear driver communication.
Because you know that this was an epic weekend.
Oh, I know.
I'm so sad about that.
I'm so sorry, everybody. We failed you as a podcast.
We did.
It's also because we can't find part of it, and it's somewhere.
Yeah, part of our normal setup. And we're also in communication. I am in communication with Race Electronics to discuss their haphazardness at races. So, if anybody had problems with Race Electronics, please contact them as well, because the thing is, there's power in numbers. That's why unions started.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to the race. We tried to go back, and then we flipped over again. All right, let's see. Who else do we want to... So, what was interesting was there were no cautions during the race.
Not a single one.
There were, like, 7 to 8 red flags in practice. There was a red flag in quals, and there was two red flags in quals.
Yeah.
Two of the different sessions. One, Bourdais caused, and that's why, here's a little moment for people who don't understand. If you cause a red flag in a qualification session, you lose your two fastest laps and you're done.
Yes.
And Bourdais had only done maybe one lap, and so he literally had no time for qual.
Correct.
And because Hinch did that, he lost his two quickest laps and he got dropped out as mm-hmm. well. I think he was right there and
yes,
didn't happen. That's why Chip Ganassi got so upset because Scott didn't do well because of the red flag. And I said, oh no, Chip should have been mad earlier.
Yeah. The time to be mad was when Scott shit the bed on fresh tires. By the last lap, you're not putting down your best time anyway.
I mean, I don't understand what happened because he did better at the race. And so they found out what happened, but.
But yeah, the Chip Ganassi tent was, well, if you're a good lip reader, go and check out that video.
Yeah, it was. Salty.
It was salty.
Oh, I heard today that the Foyt Racing meeting after quals and everything lasted until 8 o'clock that evening. Like 8 or 8:30.
Are you kidding me?
No. No. So they had everybody working.
That's 6 hours.
Yeah. At that point, that's another full day on top of everything else.
Wow.
How's it? Are they turning
I'm really glad they're turning that team around.
Are they turning that team around?
I want that team to be so good.
I do too.
I really want that team to reflect the name.
Hold on. I'm getting dirty looks. It's not AJ, okay?
It's Larry.
So my anger is not at AJ.
All right.
It's that Larry.
And our frustration is that a team that holds the A.J. Foyt name should be a premier racing team.
Yeah, they shouldn't be this stinky.
They should not be shitting the bed at this point in their career of having a race team.
Yeah, because they've been around for quite some time.
Quite a while.
Yeah. Some of us call it karma, but that's fine. So on top of having no cautions, let me give you the numbers. You ready for this?
Ready.
188 passes were made.
Unreal.
114 of those passes were for position. So if people are lapsed down and trying to come back up, that's not a positional pass. That's
yes.
You're just trying to get back up.
It is still a pass, but
they still count up, but they actually broke it down a little bit more. Last year, 63 passes for position.
Wow. So tell me again how this arrow kit isn't helping.
Is it boring? Because everybody said there'd be no passes at Mid-Ohio.
You know what I don't remember is anybody coming up to you and saying it to your face.
Nobody said it to my face. I will be at Pocono if you still think so. Fight me, because they were three wide in the S's at many points. That arrow kit was perfectly tuned for that course.
Yeah.
Perfectly tuned for that course. Dad, would you like to bring up a race topic for a minute? You're the special guest.
First, I think, Rossi's team, again, just nailed everything. You know, they got out front. They mm-hmm. were out front a lot. He had to use almost none of his push to pass. He had plenty in reserve when it counted and ran away with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big shout out goes to Sebastian Bourdais and Simon Pagenaud.
Mm-hmm. Vive la France.
Vive la France. Pagenaud started 17th. Mm-hmm. He charged hard at the beginning. I think it was harder to do at the beginning because they were more congested. Unfortunately, that meant by the time he got up to, I think, 6th or 5th, I can't remember which, but at that point he had like zero push to pass left. So it was hard for him to fight off.
Mm-hmm.
Pagenaud started further back.
Bourdais.
I'm sorry, Bourdais, yes. The initial part of the race, I think he was passing cars that were just a lot slower than he was. And so it was easier for him to get up close, and he didn't have to use as much of his push to pass. So then when he got up within shouting distance, he was able to push through and, for instance, pass Simon. Another thing I found interesting was that late in the race, a couple things. First, in the last probably 20 to 15 laps, there were positions 4 through 10 were like 5 seconds apart.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so it was, you know, they were there. The flip side of that is I really expected 4, 5, or 6 to make a push.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got to looking at the standings. I got to looking at the point differential between those positions, and so I wonder, I have no idea if it's been talked about previously, but I wonder if there's just sort of a, let's not push it. The extra 4 points we might get for trying to push a position versus
not finishing a DNF.
Something
happened, yeah. An incident.
From a risk-reward standpoint, 30 points lock. It's a lot better than maybe 34 or maybe 0.
And I don't know if there's been a discussion amongst drivers, but I think each driver and team individually is at that point like, all right, we're in this position, hold it. I know like Veach's guy at the end was like pushed to the end, but so he was pushing to get in that top 10, which is an extra point bump. So yeah, that's interesting.
It is. And I think that's an excellent thought. I'm sure that there is some of that strategy that goes into it because, yeah. And I will say, completely agree with Pagenaud and Bourdais.
Mm-hmm.
And Pagenaud, I know that he was salty about where he qualified.
Why so salty, Simon?
Why so salty? And I think that his passion that he showed in Toronto with Wickens of saying, I'm not taking people's shit anymore.
Yeah.
I think he was extremely passionate being in the race, but throughout the entire race, but to his detriment in the beginning, because he did burn up so much push to pass.
Yeah.
I do want to give a huge shout out because it took Ryan Hunter Ray a hell of a lot longer to pass him when Pagano had no push to pass than I think RHR anticipated it was going to.
Oh,
I thoroughly enjoyed watching Pagano fight him off. And you could see RHR's car speed up and sign me. No.
Mano.
Bourdais, on the other hand, he knew he was starting in last. And he's very even-keeled. Most of the time. I mean, he does get fired up, but I think by the time the race started, he had had a night to sleep on it. He had accepted that's where he was going to be, and he had a game plan. And his game plan was, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
Let me let all of these other people do the hard work for me, and then I'm just going to sneak the hell up.
Well, and if you think about it, it's similar to what happened at the Sears 500. Rossi started in the back row, and you have to, first thing you have to do is come to grips to where you start and then readjust your plan. Bourdais made 20 passes. He was passed zero times.
He didn't lose a single position at any time.
That's amazing to me. And
unreal.
I will say there was an article and I just stared at it as I was driving here, while in stopped traffic. And he was talking about like, it was a great job, da da da. But of course it was the whole, like, I wonder what would have happened if I had been on better equipment. And I was like, I understand where they're coming from when they say that, but sometimes showing that you're a better driver means you take the equipment that you have and you do something incredible like this. Because Rossi won the race, but everybody's talking about Bourdais' push right now.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the storyline from this race.
Well, and the thing is, you can talk about equipment, and this and that, and all that boils down into is excuses. Mm-hmm. Your skill is what got you your job. Mm-hmm. It's not the equipment you're in, it's your skill. So,
it's an age old expression, but it has merit. It's a poor workman that blames his tools.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird though, because it wasn't that he was blaming the tools. I think he was just, because he did very well. But it's one of those, I really wish I had. But for what if? And I'm like, accept it and move on. You're not on Penske. You're not on Andretti. You're on a Dale Coyne, which is not a bad team to be on either, by the way.
No. Well, and honestly, I don't know that he really should be running his mouth and pissing off Dale Coyne by saying things like that. I feel like Dale Coyne has given him very good equipment for a number of years.
Yeah. I feel like Dale Coyne was very nice to him when he got in a huge crash and could not drive.
Yeah, and he easily could have replaced him entirely and mm-hmm. not had him back. I mean, he's no spring chicken.
He is not.
So maybe watch it with getting lippy. 39.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just...
Yeah.
There's a lot of lights drivers who are looking real good this year. I'd be like, I love my team and everything they do for me, and I'm real proud of my insert sponsor name here.
The Sealmaster car was amazing. I finished sixth after starting in the very back.
That's just a testament to my team, to the Sealmaster team, to the Dale Coyne, Vassar, Sullivan race team, to
the equipment, blah, blah,
14,000 sponsors.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. And just walk away and not, I wish I had better equipment like Penske, because right, Roger's like, no, thank you.
Right, like to me, I'm like, bitch, I wish I had a pony. Come on.
Wish in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up quicker.
I wish I was driving that cherry red Lotus that we saw.
Oof. That so car pretty. Was beautiful.
So pretty.
We would have still put the flamingo on it, but maybe not with bungees.
With
little. I mean, yeah, that's true.
We could have cushioned it or something.
Yeah.
Maybe gotten bungees that all matched.
Just classed it up a little bit.
I feel like that was a big part of it. The bungees did not match. I loved it though. Don't get me wrong.
I loved everything about our golf cart.
It was fantastic. So going back real quick to Rossi, that he's the only person who did the two-stop strategy. And he was the last person to pit on that first run. And everybody else had talked about, you can do a two-stop, but you have to be on full fuel saving mode and bank on a yellow. And I don't know how you win on a fuel saving mode without a yellow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good. Also, that Dixon Rossi kind of really good cat and mouse game, Rossi was on cold tires.
Yeah.
Holding off Dixon on warm tires.
And we always, those are the two worst drivers to see in your rearview mirror.
And there they were.
And he held them off like a boss.
Right.
I'm not going to belabor the sociopath, but I really think that Rossi has no fear. I know that he really does have emotions.
No.
But.
No fear.
He drives like he stole it, and he has no fear. I'm sure they were like, you know, Dixon's coming up behind you. And he was like, well, too bad for Dixon.
Right. Dixon's.
That's adorable.
One of the scariest words in racing. Dixon's behind you on warm tires. Rossi went, nah.
I'll see about that.
Mm-hmm. So it was amazing. Mm. It was amazing.
It was a great race.
It was.
Lots of excitement. Super excited for Robert Wickens.
It's one day.
I know. One of these days. He led some laps.
He led. He led about 15. Got some point bumps.
He finished second.
I mean.
And then just he, Rossi, and Will Power were the only lead changes we had.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Well, and I'll say for Robert Wickens, again, you know, we've discussed. There's a lot of, I'm sure he has a lot of internal pressure and whatnot since everybody thought he was going to win St. Pete. And mm-hmm. here we are at this point in the season. But to be in that group with Alexander Rossi and Will Power, mm-hmm. and you were the third person, you were the only three that held the lead. And it wasn't like he just got the lead on a pit and then, you know, then it was immediately taken. No, he got it and held it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is an elite group to be in. And he should be nothing but proud of his result this weekend.
I mean, he got a podium finish. That's great.
Like, awesome.
Again, and we've talked about it.
And he drove
it.
Very well.
He was a great race.
He drove
by
aggressively.
Him.
He drove clean. Mm-hmm. He drove aggressively. Yeah.
And a lot of people said if Rossi hadn't been in that race, Wickens would have won. And I was like, well, yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's a weird statement to say, though.
I mean, like,
okay.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Like, he came in second.
He came in second. Who else would win?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus is always the answer.
Jesus is always the answer.
So to round out our top five for the race, it was Rossi, Wickens, Power was in third, mm-hmm. and then Newgarden in fourth and Dixon in fifth.
Chip Ganassi figured out what was wrong, apparently.
Yeah, they fixed it. I mean, he didn't have that far to go. He started in ninth, he ended in fifth, which honestly for Dixon is actually not that impressive.
No.
I've seen Dixon come back from further and podium. Yeah, so
I'm just gonna say it again. They keep calling Dixon Mr. Mid Ohio, and now this is 3 years in a row he's not won.
Four.
Is it? Yep. Four.
Because the last time he won was 2014.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Nobody in this house calls him Mr. Mid Ohio. I'll tell you that.
Well, technically, usually it's just me in this house. Currently.
Currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dad, do you call Dixon Mr. Mid Ohio?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I was 15 cars ended on 15 out of 24 ended on the lead lap. So
awesome.
Nice. So, yeah.
I can remember 500s where 15 cars didn't finish.
And, you know, a couple were a few down, a couple were more than one down. So we'll see.
I mean, the most anybody was down was just two.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty close field. Especially considering that it's, you know, it's not the biggest road course, but it's not a little road course by any means.
Not at all.
So, I mean, a very, very competitive field all around this weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which we've talked about it before. There's such a great crop of drivers in IndyCar right now. I mean, it's no wonder that we're gaining fans and viewership and excitement. And, you know, I'm enjoying this momentum and I'm loving that it's continuing to build.
And I think changes are coming that's going to make it even better.
I think so, too.
I think so.
And again, just, I mean, the drivers, even the ones that aren't that great are still awesome.
Right.
I mean, it's just relatively, you could have put them in other years of IndyCar and they would have, you know, might have placed much better than they are currently, but mm-hmm. it's because there's so many amazing drivers right now.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, Chick?
Well, I think that at any given time, people maybe not even of the top tier can accomplish quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look at Mario Andretti.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Why so salty, Chick? What he doesn't know is that's going to be a quote from your
Yep. I'll tell you who didn't bitch about equipment, though. Mario Andretti, when he had to drive that 500 with that right rear that wouldn't come off. Now, that's the time you bitch about equipment.
That's the time. I will say there was a moment when Mario was in the two-seater that he was about to lap the field, and I was like, can that car make passes? Because we're about to see something happen.
I mean, can it? Yes. Is it legally allowed? Probably not. Probably frowned upon. But then again, Rossi passed the pace car in Detroit, so.
I mean, to be fair.
Shit's getting wild this year.
You just had to. You just hear race control. Is he? Who who's going to tell Mario no is really the follow-up to that.
Who's Mario going to listen to?
Right. Max Pappas? Ari Lyndyke? Please.
No, sit down, children.
Right. Jay Faravi, like, excuse me, Mr. Andretti? No. Click.
I think only Mario's mother could accomplish that, and only speaking in Italian.
Exactly.
That's a full name in your native tongue kind of a conversation.
I've been there.
Well, we had a lot of fun with IndyCar Nation this weekend.
This is a great... And let me do the ad read this time.
Yeah.
If you're not a member of IndyCar Nation, you 100% could be. It is the easiest thing. You go to IndyCarNation.com and you sign up. And there are different levels. And depending on how high you go in the levels is how much access you get to different things. But there is a free level.
There is.
And so, you know, at least at the free level, I think that means you can come to some things. But, you know, the higher you go, you get better chances of, like, two-seater rides, hot laps. On our level, we can do things like tours.
Winner circle photos. Special seating for qualifications. Sometimes it's with, I know, what race was it? The Connor Daly. At Road America.
Yeah, it was Road America.
You could watch qualifications in this special booth with Connor Daly, providing color commentary. Which, I mean, that's awesome.
That would be hilarious.
And any level of membership, you get a discount at all official merchandise stores.
We always forget.
And we end up paying full price. And as we're walking away, we did it again.
Yep.
You also get a discount at Race Electronics. I'll update you next week on whether or not it's worth it.
Yep.
Depending on how that customer service conversation continues.
They will be a Pocono.
Well.
It's going to happen.
You know, I prefer a face-to-face.
I know.
To really... round things off, yeah. But yeah.
But you should definitely join. And as a bonus, if you like us, they, for some inexplicable reason, are still letting us do stuff with
them. They are. They've not revoked our privileges yet.
Every time I get a little more concerned, but here we are. So
I keep thinking, this is it. Let's really enjoy it while it lasts.
Every race could be your last.
Yeah. We're driving. We're performing like we're driving for Foyt. We never know when our contracts are up.
Our IndyCar Nation contract's not as great as Foyt Racing.
No.
So this race, we got to do a lot of fun. So we're doing something now during the autograph sessions. We kind of bring somebody over and interview them, and we've done a couple of drivers. But this time we had CJ, who is the marketing director of IndyCar. And that, I tell you what, was probably one of my favorite interviews we've had so far.
Oh, he was amazing.
I mean, they're all my favorite. I don't know why I say that.
I know. He was a great interview, and he had a lot of good insight and information. And he, again, with everybody else in the upper level of IndyCar management, is excited mm-hmm. and is a race fan at heart. And I think that's what is making the difference. And I don't say this in a way that, you know, that there were people before who were not true race fans. But we have, you know, I feel like all of the upper level people in IndyCar are big race fans. And so yeah. They want good racing just as much as the fans do. And we're at a place where they're extremely receptive to what fans are saying and the feedback they're getting.
Yeah. Did you sat forward like you had something to say?
Well, you know, all I was going to say is any guy whose favorite driver is Mark Donahue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And drove an MG.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's your favorite person now.
You know, that's it.
CJ has actually replaced me as favorite child now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a question.
It goes Grendel, obviously. CJ. Me. Depending on the day.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, he already got it out of the reunion, so I guess Harrison's back on top.
Yeah. That's true. That's all
I'd say. That was the only thing we had on him. The only sway.
It's over. I will say it was interesting, and we live streamed it, but we also recorded it. Our own, so we'll be putting that on our Facebook. The audio is not the greatest because, well, it's at a live racetrack.
Yes, there was track activity in the background.
You'll be able to probably listen to it. He did talk a little bit about the TV contract. He hinted a bit at the schedule, but nothing super, super. But
nothing definitive.
There was some teasing.
I thought it was interesting. He was talking about the numbers, you know, new people, younger people, everything is growing. And then when we were actually at the race, before the race started, I was talking to the gentleman who was sitting in front of me, who owns a dirt track mm-hmm. in Lima, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And he's owned it for 20 years. And he says they're probably going to have to shut it down.
Huh.
They're not getting the attendance. And he said that's primarily because they're only getting about half the number of entries. Hmm. He said the attendance for those tracks comes from family, friends, mm-hmm. workers, of the guys or gals who are racing.
Mm-hmm.
So fewer cars, fewer people.
Interesting.
And, you know, just it struck me that, there's a disconnect somewhere, because when I was growing up, just starting to listen to Indy and listening to my father, who came from Southern California and knew a lot of the drivers out there, you know, that's where all these guys came up through, you know. And look at Smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
I really appreciate that you called him Smoke.
What?
I love it. No, it's good. Continue.
You know.
Yeah.
He'll be out on a dirt track.
Yep.
In a second.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So.
And it's great racing.
You know, I think they're doing wonderful things with the, you know, the lights and the Monster Road to entry. Indy, I mean, not entry. You know. It's just a different path now.
It is.
Than it used to be.
And I think that I think that it has changed that a lot of dirt track drivers now go into stock cars and NASCAR.
I would agree, yeah.
I will also say that since I have spent a considerable amount of time in Fort Wayne, I'm familiar with Lima, Ohio. And I know that there are at least two other dirt tracks within 45 minutes to an hour of Lima, Ohio. And so I also wonder if that makes a difference.
No.
No.
All right.
I mean, it's dirt tracks remind me a lot of 50s and 60s Indiana high school basketball, where you still had four or five times the number of high schools that you have now before all the consolidations.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday night, town shut down. And you drove over to the next town or wherever it was, you know. And it's the same with dirt tracks, I think. It's the same.
Well, I understand that, but I know, like, this was one of the dirt track weeks, and a lot of people, you know, because we have all of the racing people, a lot of people were going to dirt tracks this week. Maybe it's an Ohio thing. I know, like, the Indiana dirt tracks are doing fairly well, like, because Doug Bowles himself was going to, like, dirt tracks and, like...
But the Indiana tracks have also made a concerted effort to have more consistency and inner working with one another.
Well, that's true of any business.
Yeah.
You know, there are going to be people in the business who are willing to step up, step out, and push things. And there are people who are going to be willing to, keep it the way it was. The problem with that is that when you keep things the way they were, they die.
Yes.
Now the issue becomes, is there enough death to, you know, damage the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Do we get gangrene, I guess?
Yeah.
To cop a medical term. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting listening to the two different stories.
Sure. That is very interesting. Well, and it's kind of the opposite of what you see in the Mazda Road to Indy, which is that there's a ton of drivers in USF 2000.
The lowest
tier. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of drivers in Pro Mazda, and then Indy Lights has seven.
Or eight, depending on the race.
Yeah. And so it's almost the opposite. Typically, your lower level series, you know, before you really make it into, you know, the big leagues per se, tend to have a lot of entries and drivers and all that. And so that's a very interesting trend with dirt tracks.
Yeah.
I'd be curious if that's the case in Michigan, you know, if there's other tracks in Ohio that are having those issues as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you just described is any sport.
Yeah.
You know, you go from little league to high school baseball, to college, to the NBL.
I think that will be.
Yeah.
The biggest issue is that the lights, it's the lowest it's been in a while. So it is slightly concerning.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And again, but the problem is it's every rung is more expensive.
It is.
That's what there's not a lot of people in lights. It's not cheap to be in lights.
It's not. And honestly, I think that there's probably people that have not pushed and move up to lights because there's really nowhere to move in IndyCar right now unless we add more teams or drivers. There's nobody that There's nobody that is of their own volition going to not be driving next year.
And the problem is it's not only the ones that are driving, but it's those drivers who are one-offs or a few-offs who have the experience, who have, you know, the greater pool that are also trying to get that ride. So, yeah, once you get to lights, you're like,
Because you're not just competing against other, you know, lights drivers. You're competing against IndyCar drivers who
want it.
Yeah, and everybody wants it. It's, yeah.
It's interesting. We got...
The lights races this weekend were wild, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which,
speaking of lights,
we also got to talk to Ryan Norman.
Stormin' Norman. Flyin' Ryan.
Flyin' Ryan Norman.
But I always want to call him Stormin' Norman.
I enjoy that, too. But Flyin' Ryan Norman is his Twitter. But yeah, he's on the Andretta team, and we had a great interview with him.
He was such a good interview. It was a very good interview.
Yeah.
We did challenge him to name Journey songs, and he did fine.
He did very well.
I was concerned about asking that question, but he did okay.
He did good.
I will say the biggest thing that stuck to me is, so we've interviewed a few lights kiddos and stuff like that. And we always, you know, what's your goal? And so I'm like, well, maybe this or maybe this. And he was just like, I'm going to drive an Indy car and I'm going to drive the Indianapolis 500. And he dropped the mic. And I was like, all right, Ryan.
And we were like, well, that's the best answer you could get for this podcast.
Let's go. He was like,
in fact, that is the only right answer for this podcast.
I'm going to be an Indy car driver. Okay.
Because you know what I don't want to hear? I'd eventually like to make it F1. Well, if you just want to be boring, then get out.
Then you can leave. Please go. There's the door. One will be coming by shortly for you. No, but he was very well spoken, fun, personable. He answered our question about hype songs, so that made me feel better about myself.
And he also answered most embarrassing song in your top 25, so shout out Selena Gomez.
It happens. Also, we'll have that audio up some point this week.
Another super fun thing that we got to do.
The best thing ever.
So they had a tailgate toss, which is a nice way to say cornhole.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people who are not from the Midwest are offended by that term. I don't know. I mean, it sounds a little dicey.
It sounds dicey, I get it. But like, okay.
I get it. You know, like the movie Office Space.
Yeah.
Hey, Peter, watch out for your cornhole. He thinks he's going to go to prison. I mean, I get it. I get the implications.
I get it.
But yeah, so the tailgate toss, the cornhole tournament.
Oh my gosh.
So they had the pit crew IndyCar Nation members. So if you're 17 and under,
I think it's like 12 to 17,
you can be a pit crew member, and it's cheaper. So parents, you can join, and your kids can be pit crew members. And also they had a nice lounge area set up with charging stations, fans, shade.
Closed circuit
television, what was happening on the track, and you can win fast passes to the autograph line so that you don't have to stand in line. You just meet up with whoever is your person for IndyCar Nation that weekend, and they just walk you right up to whoever you want to see. So,
which is pretty baller.
It is pretty baller. It's even better than amusement park because you don't have to pay extra for it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's great. So they do a cornhole tournament among kiddos, and they pair them up with IndyCar drivers. And the finalists were Allison and Cole.
Yes.
And Cole was with Simon Pagenaud, and Allison was with Charlie Kimball, who, in my opinion, are two of the most fun IndyCar drivers.
I mean, you know, we give Kimball some shade about his driving, but, like, in person, he was so personable. He was so good with the kid. Like, he got there early.
He's funny.
He was, like, throwing some practice tosses with, like, his, and, like, also interacting with Cole because Simon wasn't there, like... Very well done. I was like, nice, Charlie.
Absolutely. I mean, he was cracking jokes left and right. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as Pagenaud shows up, he's like, now how do I play this game? And we're all like, okay, who was supposed to tell Simon how the game works? Which is funny because he played last year.
Yeah, right. He should, well.
I also have a theory that he's a ringer and that everything leading up to that was complete bullshit.
I agree.
Because he scored 6 points on his last two shots, and that won the game. And I was like, that's not luck.
That's not,
you're a damn liar. You're a damn liar is what you are. But he said, can I have a few practice tosses? And Pagenaud was late, and Kimball didn't miss a beat. He said, practice time was 15 minutes ago before you got here. or 15 minutes ago when you were supposed to be here.
Which was fantastic.
It was. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to go stand on this side.
You're like player two is under the game.
Yes.
Yeah, yours didn't steal the mic from you like Simon did.
Well, it's because Kimball recognized that I'm more of an extrovert than he was, and that the only way that mic was coming out of my hand is when he pried it from my cold, dead fingers.
The problem was, maybe Simon doesn't remember how to play the game, but they had changed the rules on us, so at that point, I wasn't quite sure how we were scoring either, and so he kept looking at me and going, what's the score? How do I win? And I was like, throw it. So I think some of that might have been my problem. I was like, yeah, just throw it on the board. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, don't throw it on the board. All right? Don't throw it on the board.
I know. I felt like, because we were providing color commentary, which was super fun, and letting the drivers and the kiddos talk. And well, and Kemble, one of the things, that, you know, we're partway through, and I said, you know, do you have any thoughts right now? And he said, well, I just want to say Allison's shoulders have got to be hurting because she is carrying our team.
They were so great about that.
Oh, so great. But yeah, so Simon kept asking questions, and you were like, I don't know. They've told us 8 different rules. And I'm not even good about keeping score when I play the game. Mm-mm. I usually don't. I usually make sure that everybody knows I'm not responsible for that. But then I realized you kept saying, I don't know. So then I would see him turn and ask a question. And I'm like, okay, I think I get the gist of what's happening. And so I would answer. And so I felt like it was cheating when I'm like, don't throw it on the board. Like, I'm like, it's not, but I feel like you really don't get the game. But if I find out that he does, well.
We're going to have some talk.
It's on next year. Because mm-hmm. if he just wasn't paying attention, yeah. Because.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, see, I don't understand that about Simon.
What?
I mean, not understanding the rules. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the French invented the card game Bazique. And if you've ever tried to read the rules to Bazique, it's mind-boggling.
Again, I think that guy that was also there with them, who was French, because they were all speaking French and I was trying to listen in, he was like a world champion physique player.
Actually, that is true, and that's what he said. And he asked if he could sub in.
And we said no.
We were like, you can't sub. And it was right at the end, and they were tied at like 20 to 20. Or
No,
they weren't 20-20.
He won it on the 6.
But yeah, they were tied at 15 to 15. I'm like, no, you can't sub in a professional right now. I'm going to be like, are you high? Somebody drug test this man, because that was a stupid question. And then I said, but I'll play with him afterwards.
Yeah, like, I mean, we'll play later.
Yeah.
But that was so much fun. And the kids really had a lot of fun with it.
And two of the Pain Tour kiddos, Allie and her sister Kat, got to be the scorekeepers. They had participated in games up to that, but they did not make the finals. Allie, we've talked about before, is going to school to be a mechanical engineer. And she got to shadow Kara Adams, which is another thing that she got for being a pit crew member through IndyCar Nation. And Kara Adams is legitimately her hero.
Yeah.
And not only did she get to just talk to her and kind of pick her brain a little bit, she got to stand in the booth where Kara stands with all of the screens, and Kara explained all the technology, what it is, why they do it, and that girl was on cloud 9.
She came back, her eyes were as big as saucers, and I was like, this is the most amazing thing to watch.
And then Sunday morning, I love that I got up, and she pops out of the tent ready for the race, wearing like black pants, a black tee, and a red hat. And I just yelled across, you could be Kara Adams' twin right now.
Yep.
I was like, yep. And she said that her goal is to work in IndyCar.
So there you go. So again, if you're not a member of IndyCar Nation, you really should join.
It's so much fun.
Because for right now, they're still having us work with them on Pocono. So we'll see what happens after Pocono. We're supposed to work at Gateway in Portland, but who knows? It's one race at a time.
One race at a time. So, but yeah, the tailgate toss was super fun. And the parents had a great time. Yeah. I mean, we had multiple people come up to us on race day, later on Saturday, and then on race day, and, you know, tell us how much fun it was, which I thoroughly appreciated that, you know, just the, you know.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation. That's my love language. It's true. We're going to have to do what we assume the driver's love languages are for an episode.
We should do that too. I'll write that down.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. So, but yeah, that.
Or a special bonus Drunk at Pocono episode.
We're not doing any live bonus episodes at Pocono.
No.
Okay. That's the quickest way to get off the IndyCar Nation email list.
Or just a special bonus Drunk at Poco, not Pocono campsite.
Yes. Oh. So, we also had an awesome time with our camp state decorations.
Oh, my goodness. So, the theme was pirates.
Arr!
Thank you.
Arr, matey.
Thank you. And we were camping with the pirate.
Yes. The true at Indy 500 pirate. And, of course, Debbie.
Yes, and of course,
at
Debbie.
Love Coke 66.
Who's really the mastermind behind everything.
She really is. She's the MVP. She had
She just whips
She's
up
so
stuff.
Creative.
She was like, here.
Thank God one of us is.
I know. She's like, here, I made all these. And we were just all like,
Yeah, she made out all these wanted posters for different drivers that she had put eye patches and beards on and made them look like pirates, gave them pirate nicknames, and then put a bounty. And the bounty was their current point standings.
Which is, like, so many levels. So their campsite was amazing.
Amazing.
We were next to them, and we were checkered. Yeah. We had the golf cart. The flying flamingo.
Yes.
Please ignore any and all references to the flamingo mobile. Flamingo beel.
The flying flamingo.
It's the flying flamingo.
And
thank you.
We dressed up. We had a good time. And we had a fun visit from Doug and Beth Bowles.
Say we got the IMS bump.
We sure did.
Right in time for judging.
I mean, I really felt like that was going to bode well for us. You know, when Jack Harvey and the other judges show up and the president of IMS and his family are at your campsite.
And he hugs them.
Yeah.
Usually you're like, oh, okay, we're going to win. I mean, spoiler alert, we did not.
We did not, but we did place third.
Yeah. But so. Looking at the other campsites, you're like, ah, yeah. Somebody made a boat out of a flatbed truck. Like, I can't compete.
And they made it after they were there, because I saw it in process. We did make one run to their campsite, and there had been talks of how we could steal it, because it was pretty awesome. And I was going to give it back, but I thought, there's nothing more pirate than taking somebody else's shit.
Nobody told me this.
You had gone back to the hotel, you boozy bitch. Bougie, not boozy.
And
somebody needed to bail us out.
Well,
here's the deal. We needed somebody to bail us out.
Oh.
And where they were located, there was not a quick escape.
Yeah. And I love you, but.
And I drove by many times to scope out the neighbors, and they were always fucking there. Don't worry. If it had been the least bit doable, it would have been in front of our campsite. And I'd have slapped a Fast Cars, Fast Girls sticker on everything else in their campsite.
Just running around.
Pick it up on Sunday. Thanks.
Slapping stickers everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like it's a fire sale. But that was fun. It was a lot of fun to have a theme. And
they drove that pirate ship around.
That was kind of nice too.
Yeah, the tent campers had their own contest, and because they won the RV one. And after they won, they actually put up a mast and a sail
that said number one
that they then spray painted after they won that said we're number one, and they drove around in full costume and just blared music. And
I mean,
I want to be friends with them.
I kind of do too.
It was in the midst of us having our own little meet and greet, so we really couldn't talk very long, but I wanted to be like, can we, where do you live? We should hang out because you people are a great time.
What other races are you going to?
Right.
Will you be at Pocono, Gateway, or Portland? Because we're hanging out.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. I really enjoyed how many people got into it.
It was, yes. It's a good idea to do like a theme.
Yeah, and a fun theme like that. They need to announce it earlier. They did not announce it until Tuesday. So I'm very excited with how many people participated, having only, you know, a few days notice. So I love the theme idea, but they need to announce it earlier.
Yeah, because some of us have to wait on Amazon shipping.
Right?
Yes.
Arr.
Thank you.
And they announced it right after Prime Days. Rude.
Yeah. How rude. Am I supposed to use that Prime membership if I can't?
Ugh. Right.
Makes me angry.
I think we need to discuss the possibility of some changes coming to the IMS.
This is true. This happened. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Mid-Ohio showed a picture of the flying flamingo.
On the live stream.
And said, you know.
Somebody retweeted
prototype it. Prototype pace car. Well, that got me to thinking. And Saturday night when Doug Bowles was there, I approached him. And I told him about this. I didn't know if he'd seen it. He hadn't.
His loss. Thought it was great. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
And then I said, you know, Doug, I would be willing to talk to the Speedway, you know, about becoming the pace car. And without losing a beat, which I really, really admire in people that they can do this, Doug came back and said, well, you know, I'll have to talk to Chevy about it, but we'll talk.
Oh, at that point I thought, well, we're not getting media credentials next year. It's just...
We are, but the yellow shirts are not only going to have their little booklet of rules. They're going to have a picture of your dad's face. Blacklisted.
Don't allow...
His face and a picture of a golf cart with a flamingo.
If you see...
These two together.
Don't allow
alert
this man
security.
Near a pace car.
Find the robot. Ooh, we should put it on the robot. Now, okay.
Now
Plan B.
The IMS now has security robots.
You know what we're definitely doing, though, is putting that flamingo on our car for liquor and lights. Yes! Oh, God. And the LED lights. We're going to have Christmas lights on the outside of our car.
I mean, obviously, at this
point. We have
to. I mean, we have enough of them.
I mean, I've been extra every day of my life, and...
Why are we stopping?
We got nowhere to go but up, kids. So, yeah. We're only going to get better and better. I mean, and I don't mean that, like, this weekend was low. This weekend was fantastic, but we're just going to build, just like IndyCar, we're building on that momentum.
Well, you know, that's one way to look at it. I think, unfortunately, a lot of people would look at it and go... I think they're just going to get worse and worse. To which I say, good.
Oh, excuse me. As somebody looked at us and said, ladies, I just want to tell you that that golf cart is the tackiest golf cart I've ever seen. And without missing a beat, Abby and I went,
thank you so much.
And just drove on.
And I don't believe they meant it as a compliment.
I don't think that they did, but we
based on the look on their face when we said, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, just like, you know, very early on in my working career, I had a boss tell me, hey, Licker, you got a bad attitude. To which I responded, thank you.
We hope that everybody enjoyed seeing our golf cart. We want to give us some special shout outs to some of our fans that found us.
Which is so cool.
So cool. So much fun. So Whitney Gleason, she came up to us. She's a Twitter follower, a listener of ours.
Also on the Instagram.
Also on the gram. I wouldn't know because I do nothing with Instagram.
Also on the gram.
But yeah, she and her husband were there, and so she came up to us. She saw the golf cart, which...
No, Abby. She came running up to you guys.
I mean, it's fine. We
I was a little scared for a minute.
But she was excited. We were excited to meet her in person. And
yeah.
Yeah, so I especially love the Flying Flamingo because it makes us so
easy to find.
And honest to God, I could watch that video over and over again because watching, when you're not in the flamingo, watching it dip in and out of campsites is funny. The funniest damn thing.
That's the whole thing.
I mean.
When I die, I project that on my grave. Just on a loop.
Yes. I knew that it was going to be hilarious. I had no idea. My expectations were completely surpassed on how awesome that was.
Well, you know, I think the fun thing for me was, by the end of the race, we left, I was friends with all the traffic people.
Yes.
You know, as I would go by, you know, high fives, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Except one girl.
There's always one.
And she deliberately, when she saw me coming, she'd wait till I was almost there, then she put her hand up. I think it was blatant discrimination against flamingos.
Well, she did laugh her ass off when you yelled that at her the last time.
Yeah. So I think you won her over, but just too late.
Took a little bit. She was a bit of a slow burn for her.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, Whitney Gleason, that was awesome. Thanks for running up to us. We weren't the least bit scared.
No, we weren't. We were fine.
Yeah, that was awesome. Got to give her a little bit of swag. So that's another bonus that we don't really advertise. You find us, I guarantee you're walking away with at least a sticker.
Yeah.
Okay? We also have buttons and shirts for sale.
Just putting that out there.
Chad. And then Chad, who, in case you don't remember, won one of the free Carb Day tickets. So he won the track selfie challenge.
Yeah.
And then came up and found us in the stands. But only after he, of course, saw the Flying Flamingo and had his father take a picture of him in the driver's seat while he's drinking it, while he's chugging a beer. And if that's...
Not the most on-brand picture for people who listen to us. I don't know what else is.
For us and people who listen to us. I mean...
He was like, I took a few pictures in the golf cart. And I was like, yeah.
Awesome. We said...
Yeah, of course you did.
Please. And please tag us.
Yeah, let us know. So he did, and that was amazing, Chad. That was awesome.
Yes, well done. Rich Yost,
Yep.
Got to meet him. That was cool.
He also sent us the Mid-Ohio official Instagram photo.
He did.
Because the cart made it on the official gram of Mid-Ohio.
Yes, it did. Because, well, we definitely, you know what? We may have had the third best campsite. There was no competition for best golf cart.
There should have been a golf cart competition. They would have been like, done. Although one of the judges tried to give sass. They were like, well, what does the flamingo have to do with a pirate? And I was like, what you want?
Do you know what I said? Did you hear my answer? Because I was actually really quick on my feet. They said, what does the flamingo have to do with the pirates? And I said, drink enough rum and they look like a pirate. I said, they'll stand on your shoulders still, but it's a lot harder.
But don't you get sass about the golf cart. No right? sassafras.
And I'll tell you what, both the bulls chuckled at that because it was quick and clever.
It was quite funny.
But I was like,
get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Because why not? Everybody said, what's with the flamingo? Why not?
Why not? We also had parrots and pirate flags.
Yeah.
Okay? We were on brand. We were just taking it, flipping it.
Yeah.
Just a little remix.
And also, you can't buy an inflatable parrot that size.
They also probably would not work really well.
No.
Because they're like a vertical and it's a whole thing.
Oh, all right. Brandon Carl, which are PETM boys.
Our NASCAR twins.
Our NASCAR twins saw that he was there. And so huge shout out to them. They were like, hey, you know, looks like you're drinking a good beer. Have a great time and check out our IndyCar twins. And so he did.
He came up
and found our campsite and came up and introduced himself. And we chatted a little bit. And that was super fun.
That was a lot of fun.
We also hosted a meet and greet.
Yes.
Had a fun time. Thanks to everybody that came out. It was very fun getting to chit chat and all that. And one of the competing campsites, mm-hmm. There were two different guys that came over. The first one was
Josh.
And he came over and introduced himself. And we were like, okay, awesome. Nice to meet you. And, and that was the very first night. And so we told them the meet and greet, which they came back over. Well, then somebody else from that campsite came the next day and they said, or maybe it was later that night or whatever. Yeah. They said, actually we just started listening to you. You know, Josh turned me and my brother onto your podcast. And we're like, oh, well, hell, we didn't know he was earning his listeners. Send the boy back. We'll give him some more shit.
Somebody's getting a sticker.
Somebody's getting a button now. You've been upgraded.
If you get people to listen to us, you get a button. I mean, we're not above bribing.
So, we are not.
No, we are not.
Nope.
Shout out to my cousin Thomas's neighbor across the cul-de-sac who came over and found us because my cousin said, and I quote, oh yeah, my cousin and my uncle are going to be there. You should find them. And then he found the flamingo. And then he found us.
We were not inconspicuous in any way.
No, we weren't.
I mean, we never are with our clothes. So that was another reason why the flamingo, because it's...
It stands out.
It stands out, just like we do.
Yeah. I mean, there's...
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
My favorite is anytime we get stopped for a picture.
That's my favorite, too.
And people say, can I take a picture with you? I love to say back, I don't wear this outfit not wanting attention, okay? I'm not dressed head to toe in checkers because I don't want the attention.
Which, by the way, so last, this was our
this was so cool.
A woman who stopped us last year, a year to the day.
Also named Debbie.
She had taken, and I don't think she has the internet at all.
She does not.
She had taken a picture of us with her camera and found us and gave us each a copy of that photo.
Because we gave her our email last year, I think, or we talked
about.
This
year
about,
we gave it to
her.
Yeah,
And anyhow, but yeah, she found us. She had the photos printed out and just randomly ran into us on race day. And she said, oh my gosh, I'm so glad she said, I was just talking about you girls. And I looked up and you're here. So
that happens a lot.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
That was a lot of
fun.
We're
like, oh, thank you so much. Yeah. It was our anniversary present for our Mid-Ohio-versary.
I didn't get you anything, but I got you this photo because I'm holding them.
Yes. No, that's what you got me.
Yeah.
Safe passage for the photo.
Yeah. That sounds about right for us.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's just a great weekend. We never don't have a good time at Ohio.
Oh, gosh, no.
That Midwest hospitality.
It's full force.
Stop, I will say, if you thought the duct tape on my car was white trash, you should have seen our campsite the first night.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Did
you find them, by the way?
You think I looked last night?
I don't know why.
Nah. Maybe tonight. Probably not, though. I think I'm going to throw on some Netflix and call it an early day.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But yeah, so the tent poles did not make it to the campsite. So we had to use our canopy and it was like, well, the clampets are here.
We lowered the canopy, lashed two
rain flies,
a tarp, and the tent without the poles to cover three out of the four sides of our canopy.
Because I mean, there was rain. It sure did.
It was comfy. But thanks to Dad, we now have three tents amongst us. But this tent will work for Pocono because it will sleep three when Juliana comes.
It absolutely will. So, and I say that, yeah, that we were going to need something a little bit bigger anyway, so Works out great. And if you missed, and oh, I will say when we first came in.
Oh, that was the funniest thing ever.
I text the pain tour. I text Tim with the pain tour because I knew that they were already there and I wondered where they were. And I said, hey, we just got here. And he said he was literally about to text us and say, where are you guys? Because he knew about what time we were getting there. And we're not paying any attention to who's around. We pick a spot.
I turn and go, hey.
And then we turn. They're right across from us. Our campsites are right across. And it was like, this is kismet.
Meant to be.
Meant to be.
We were there. We were there with the Brian and the Pirate, or Brian and the Pirate, Brian and Debbie. And just down the row was like everybody else that we knew.
Yep.
It was like the row of
Doug U2 and people. Clifford and Mr. Tom. They're all a little bit down. Fred was a little bit down. And then the pain tour right across from us. It was just, it was awesome. I loved that.
It was like the party neighborhood.
It was. We were Party Cove.
We were Party Cove.
And if you're unsure about the flamingo, if you haven't seen pictures or about our white trash campsite and the pain tour throwing shade at us or any of that, it's because you're not following us on social media, and you really should.
Shame.
For shame. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Shamed.
So you can find everything on our website, www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. Mm-hmm. We have a Twitter, an Instagram, a Facebook, and a YouTube, actually. But there's not been anything new on the YouTube in a while.
I need to put that, like, the videos from this weekend can go on the YouTube.
Yes.
There you go. We're going to have something on our YouTube, finally. Also,
our live show can go on YouTube, too.
Yeah, I need to do that. There's a way to do that.
There is. I thought about that later, and then I was like, it was a random time, and then it was out of my head, you know.
I know. Also, from that website, you can subscribe. There's a very easy button on the bottom of every single page. You click that button, and then it takes you to a place you subscribe. You can subscribe on any single podcast platform.
Yes. So anywhere that has podcasts, you can find us. No matter what your phone is, no matter what podcast app you like to use.
I mean, or you can actually just listen to it from our website.
Directly from the website.
I made it that easy.
And if you do listen to us and you want to interact with us and maybe you agree or disagree with something. I don't know what you have to disagree about that. But, you know, maybe you just want to continue a discussion or add something in that, you know, an extra point. Social media is a great platform for that.
Yeah.
We love it when our listeners comment on things and or reference things or ask us questions or you know, open a debate that maybe, you know, we have some differing views. And
that's fine.
You know, we don't have all the answers, certainly. And we love to just interact and chat with other race fans. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I'm trying to adjust the Facebook where it pops out our first episode. And, you know, that's a great place to do it. You can listen to it right there from Facebook. And then you can comment on Facebook or... there's a contact us on our website page. Like, guys, I'm making it easy for you.
Yep. You can send us DMs on the gram or Facebook or Twitter.
Yes.
Or you can just comment directly on our profiles. And but if you want it to be, you know, more of a private conversation, that's fine too.
Uh-oh.
Or you could write in and request more airtime of a certain individual.
No, don't.
Well, there will be some more airtime because our neighbors that we didn't know, but just happened to be near us, were fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The people who turned a short bus into a camper.
Yes.
And then the people who camped directly behind us, who said that they chose that campsite because they rolled in Friday morning to see our white trash canopy set up with everything just bungee corded and duct taped to the sides. And that they were talking loudly about it. And then one of them said, oh my God, there's two boxes of wine. We have to camp here. These people are awesome. And then finally somebody says, they're still in there. We probably shouldn't talk so loud. But they said that the fact that we had this just white trash set up and two boxes of wine was the reason they parked behind us. And so Sam of that campsite specifically requested that Chick retell the story on the podcast. We do not have time for it this week.
Yeah.
But in the future, there's a little teaser. Chick will have some more time because if you were not at our meet and greet, You missed out on one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
I thought you had heard that one before.
No, I had not. Well, the good news is we've only got one thing left, and that is our point totals.
All right.
So I had Pagano for first. I did make him my drop in IndyCar Nation, which, you know what? I kind of... I know I gave you shit about it last week, but I kind of did it as like a, if I'm making my drop, I know he'll do well.
Oh, you did it ironically?
I did. And I even put it at the end, I still love you, Simon. But I had him as first. I got 0 points for that.
Yeah.
Dixon, by the skin of my teeth.
Girl, I know.
Top 10 Wiccans. I got that point because he was second.
Yeah, you got the Wiccan point.
Pardon me, a point for each of these?
That you get correct.
Yes. Stop it.
If the person you pick for first podiums, but they don't come in first, they come in second or third, you get a half.
He doesn't get that.
It doesn't matter. First out I had Lace, that was a non-starter.
That was a non-starter.
All right, for you, you had Newgarden as first.
0. And then I got the Dixon and Wiki points like you.
Yep.
And then I picked Bender for first out, and he did not.
So, two points for each of us.
My father picked a driver called Newgarden with a T. I didn't know he was driving.
I'm not familiar with him.
I'm not familiar. What team does he drive for, Dad?
Pinch me.
Pinch me?
She started it. Don't look at me like that.
This is an audio podcast. People can't see your face.
Good thing. Well, let's continue down the list.
All right. Top 5, Will Power. You got a point.
You got
top
a point.
10, Simon Pagenaud. You get a point. And we had a judge's ruling on this.
We had to have the discussion on this one.
Which, first off, first out, he picked Connor Daly. Which
we were already ready to disqualify him.
Yeah, we're like, you know what? Get out.
They were throwing so much shade at me about that.
I'm going to tell Beth next time I see her, and then what do you think is going to happen?
So...
Don't. She scares me.
She scares everybody. It's okay.
She scares us, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I love her, and she loves us, but she is not a woman you want to make mad.
Look, she had boys, okay? All boys.
Yeah, she is little, and you just know she's scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
She raised 4 boys. Like, yeah.
Mm-mm, no. I don't think so.
I think you're trying to postpone the inevitable.
So the thing is, nobody was truly out of the race. Nobody wrecked out or any of that. However, Connor ran out of gas on the final lap. And he did not cross the finish line on the final lap. Now, once the checkered flag is waved, everybody finishes their lap. If your lap's down, it doesn't matter. The race is over. And that is so, you know, you don't have a fit. People still trying to drive around while people are coming out on the track. It's a safety thing. So we discussed it and determined that even though he was running when the checkered was flown, because his car did not cross the finish line of his own volition on his last lap, we would count as a first out.
We'd count it as a first out.
So again, our guest driver analyst.
Every time.
We need to quit bringing so many ringers on this show.
No, you and Juliana. But Juliana's a karaoke ringer, too.
Yeah.
We got to have that.
Yep, so you got 3 points.
You haven't seen me sing Blues Brothers.
I have seen you sing Blues Brothers.
No.
Let's leave that alone. All right, final thoughts. I think it's a dead one.
Yeah, oh yeah, 3. 3 points. Well done. And the first out is the elusive point.
That's the elusive point. Because usually you can pick who's going to do well, but that last out, you're like, who's not feeling lucky?
Just takes a special skill.
I mean, for me in the month of May, it was just the secret. I was just speaking. I was speaking crashes into existence in the month of May. Everybody I picked for first out crashed.
Beautiful.
I'm glad that I don't have that power every week. I'm not responsible enough.
Power. Nope.
So, white flag. Another great year, Mid-Ohio.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going back to Mid-Ohio as long as they keep having IndyCar there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Great weekend. Again, anybody that we forgot to mention that we ran into.
I think we hit them all.
I think we hit them all, but...
yell at us if not. It's fine.
You know who we also saw, one of our favorites. We won't use their real name, but Connor Knightley made a guest appearance at the campsite.
That's right, we saw Connor Knightley again. One of our favorite peoples.
One of our favorite spoof accounts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great weekend, great people, great racing. Loved it all.
Also, we're going to figure out who you are, Zach Beach, and I'm really close.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down to about 3, and you should start sweating.
Yeah.
Just saying. There are faux driver accounts on. Sorry, we got to look.
I see.
I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Dad. Final thought?
Great race. Makes me glad. First time back there in 45 years.
Yeah, didn't know that going into it.
Wow.
I was back there in about 73, I'd guess, Can-Am race. Just a little further up the track from where we were. But it was just a great race all around.
It was.
One of those ones that anybody who has a half of a brain would recognize as a great, great race.
Yeah.
Agreed.
No crashes, no hurts, no damage.
Yeah.
As you pointed out early, a lot of passages.
But clean. Not dirty moves even mm-hmm. within
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Oh, I have one more final thought.
Okay.
And
I don't think that's possible, is it?
Well, it is, because
really what's more possible is her having less than five.
Yeah. So as Molly and I learned last year, and as Tim, Jay, and Lisa learned this year, when at Mid-Ohio, if a drunk person on a golf cart offers you a ride, you say yes.
You take it.
Because 2 years in a row, we've had some of the most amazing nights of our lives by saying yes to a drunk person driving a golf cart. I know it sounds dangerous.
I get it.
I think as a dad, this is the point at which I need to leave the room.
Well, we can't.
I mean, Molly, the mud will come out of Molly's clothes.
I threw them away.
Wow. My pinky's only a little bit swollen still from jamming it. But you know what? Otherwise, came out unscathed.
My final thought was that this is a forward-looking podcast, and I live Mid-Ohio. I'm sad we have 3 weeks of quiet, but then it's Pocono.
And it's party time.
And it's party time.
So have a great week.
Thanks for listening.